One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to my podcast. My name's Lorena and this is The Pooch. Hope you've been well. We're on episode 31. I am here with a colicky newborn in my lap. So I hope my co-host stays nice and quiet. You might hear him every now and then. I really wanted to record this episode tonight, and I just thought instead of waiting for my opportunity, I'll just take it and he can be in my arms and we'll just play it by ear and see what happens. So I've had a kind of crazy week. He is about to be 6 weeks old, so we have all the scary shots coming up, which I remember first time around was petrifying. Anyway, that's coming up in a few days. But I got mastitis this week, which I think I had it before. Not that I have no memory, but I know I had a lot of pain and, you know, found it difficult at some stage to pump milk or to extract milk. But last time it happened, I was, you know, with my daughter, I didn't have any kind of sick symptoms. This time, oh my God, it was a fucking nightmare. I woke up in the middle of the night, freezing cold, like shivers, covered in sweat, fever of 39. Like, it was just crazy. And this was like 2-3 days ago and I'm feeling fine. I had to take antibiotics, but I'm still in pain. Like, it still really hurts. So I don't know how to move it along. I don't know how to get rid of the actual blockage. Anyway, that's not for today. but I had a lovely thing happen to me and I just kind of wanted to share it. I was at the shops the other day and I was having my one of my real flustered moments, you know, walking through Woolies, pushing now a 2-kid pram. You know, I've got my toddler and my newborn in the same pram and it's big. It's a wonderful pram, but it's, you know, it makes life harder to get around with 2 kids. And I was trying to do shopping, so I'm juggling a basket in my hand and I can only buy a few things at a time because I can't push a trolley and a pram at the same time and all that shit that comes with trying to sort all this out on your own, pretty much. And on the same day, 2 different women in totally different parts of the shopping center came up to me and they were like, I just want you to know you're doing a really good job. And I was like, that's the smallest thing you can do, but the nicest thing you can do, because I honestly felt like a hot mess, disheveled piece of shit that day. I was like sweaty, and I don't know if it's the same for everyone, but when I'm in this stage, like breastfeeding postpartum mode, I'm always hot. I'm always uncomfortable. I'm always sweaty. I always feel disgusting. On top of it, I was kind of like, you know, huffing and puffing through the shops, trying to get around people. The shops were busy. I needed to get stuff. Things are falling out of my hands. I felt like an absolute hot mess of a disaster. And to have 2 women on separate occasions come up, like just walk past me, or one of them came up to me, the other one was walking past me, and they were just like, I just want you to know you're doing great. It just made me feel like, I don't know, like, A, we got this, you know, there was a tiny sense of village for a second. Like, it was a little bit of like a, you're actually noticing me. Like, I'm not, you know, we're not all living our isolated lives kind of parallel to each other, ships in the night type of situation. Like, we are in the same space and you're noticing another mum. And also you care enough to let me know that I'm doing well. You care enough to know that there's a chance that I might be questioning myself, that I might be doubting myself, which I do. We all fucking do nonstop, especially at this, you know, stage. And, you know, I just felt like sharing that because it actually changed my whole day, maybe part of my week until I bloody got sick and then I felt like shit. But it was such a lovely, I know it sounds really lame and simple, but it was such a special thing to hear some random woman say, you know, you're doing good, and feel the need to share those feelings with me. And just, I don't know, it just gave me such a boost of confidence. So on that note, today's episode is going to be about what I'm not doing now, second time round. So for those of you that don't know, I've just had my second baby. I am second time round in this postpartum land. And I have a couple of things here that I've listed down that I'm not doing this time round. Some of them are on purpose. Some of them, I guess, are a conscious effort not to do these things. And others are maybe not so intentional. But some things that I've noticed, I guess, that I'm doing differently second time round since I've been here before. And I'm feeling slightly more seasoned in some ways. I have said in another episode, though, that, and this is something that I really, really believe wholeheartedly, is that it doesn't really matter how many times you do something. So I'm, you know, I have my second baby now. This is the first time that I am a mum of a toddler and a newborn. So while it is second time having a baby, it is absolutely my first time having it under these circumstances, having it like it's a thing, having my son, you know, under these circumstances, which is, you know, a big difference to the first time round. And anyone who's had two kids will know how different it is, you know, for example, being pregnant the first time versus the second, especially if your kids are, you know, close-ish in age, close enough that your first needs looking after. So a three-year-old, a two-year-old, even a five-year-old maybe, I wouldn't know. But, you know, that is the first time that you're having to have that experience because your first pregnancy was just you and your pregnancy. Second time is you, your pregnancy, and a child. So while I fully believe that this is, you know, the second time around is my first time at pregnancy, at being a mum of a baby with a toddler and all the circumstances that come with that, there are things that I do feel more seasoned over. And I think it's the simple fact of just having had a baby before. So I just wanted to share a couple of things and maybe they resonate with you. Some of the things that I'm conscious of doing, they might be things that you might consider if you're already second time round or if you're becoming, you know, mum for the second time, whatever it might be. So the first thing that I am making a conscious effort not to do is to track everything, to not track everything, because I did that the first time. Starting from being in the hospital, this got me into a paranoid frenzy about having to track everything. And I think it drove me a little bit fucking insane, to be honest. So starting from in the hospital when I had my daughter, so my first baby, I remember the midwives coming in and asking me constantly, what time did you last feed and for how long? And I could not answer that question. Time, and it's happened to me this time again, time is an actual mystery to me right now. I can't tell you what feels like 5 minutes or 10. I can't tell you, you know, unless I'm consciously looking at the clock and going, please record this in your brain. It is 6:35 p.m. and you're doing this thing. I just don't pay attention. Like I'm not conscious enough of the time or how long things go for. So they were coming in and asking me, meanwhile, don't forget, this is after I had 4 days of labor, an emergency cesarean, after which I had obviously no sleep, and I was expected to know, not no fault of their own, they needed to track, but I was expected to know exactly for how long. I was half falling asleep, you know, feeding my child. Anyway, so because everyone kept coming in and asking me these really specific questions, basically about feeding, obviously to know how I'm caring for the baby, that started a bit of a tracking frenzy for me. And so the first thing I did was I found an app on my phone that allowed me to track breastfeeding. and, you know, so which side I'd feed from and for how long and what time, etc. And I know there are other hacks about, you know, putting a hair elastic on your hand and switching hands and all that stuff to know which breast you last fed off. And to me, that wasn't enough because I was like, I need to know that I'm feeding her enough and I'm going to go based on this, you know, I need to track the information. So I remember actually my mum, you know, questioning why I was tracking so much, and I struggled to let it go. I struggled. I remember one day, it had been weeks, maybe the first month and a bit, literally, like, it was obsessive where I was like, every time I sat down to feed, I'm like, I need my phone, I need my bottle of water, and go. And I'd literally press go when she'd start feeding and stop when she'd stop feeding. And I'd track which breast the feed was from, etc. And one day, my mum said to me, you know, I think that's enough, Lena. You don't need to track all the time. What do you think we used to do? And it kind of hit me where I was like, yeah, this is a little bit much. But I felt so insecure about not knowing, because I kept checking that app to know when was the last time I fed her and for how long. So I felt so insecure. And I think tracking made me lose a bit of confidence or trust in myself that I was doing okay, that I actually needed some data to be able to tell me that things were going okay. So that all started this kind of tracking frenzy. Like, I think most people in my era of new mum life, I also got into tracking leaps. So developmental leaps, I downloaded the app and, you know, which tells you, if you've got it, you know the one I'm talking about. It tells you, you know, that you're going to go through a rough period in the next few days. And this is, you know, a significant time because basically a developmental leap is around the corner and you should see your child being able to do X, Y, Z things. And while, my God, that shit is very spot on, or at least it was with my daughter, and it actually blew my mind. And I found it really, really helpful in the sense that I never knew about leaps. I didn't realize that development wasn't just like this slow linear progression. Like, there were times where, you know, development would burst, and it absolutely would. I didn't know that. So that was really, really helpful. And I didn't know that, you know, I could use this knowledge to my advantage. And that's the whole point of tracking leaps, I guess, is to think about the types of activities and things you're doing with your baby so that you can help complement or enhance the leap that they're currently in. So that's all fantastic. And I found that really, really beautiful. But at the same time, just like the breastfeeding tracking, I became a little bit obsessive, a little bit dependent, and so, so anxious knowing that, you know, a cloudy period. So they show you when you're going to have a rough time in the lead up to a leap, by showing you a calendar which has a little cloudy period. You know, it might be 3 days, it could be 2 weeks, it could be more, where you expect that your baby is going to be really, really fussy and not sleep very well and crying and colicky and all that kind of stuff, because a leap is around the corner, basically. So I became so insanely anxious anytime I saw those cloudy weeks, arriving, that I may have contributed to it. I feel like, you know, the more anxious I became, it was harder to settle a screaming baby because I'm anxious myself. It's harder to, you know, settle a baby to sleep when I'm like, I know tonight's going to be shit. I know I'm not going to get any sleep because we're in a cloudy week. And so I'm trying to settle, you know, a baby with that mindset. And I feel like that for me, for my personality, it didn't help. So this time round, I'm not doing it. At this stage anyway, there might come a time where I'm like, I'm strong enough mentally to handle it, so that's fine. But I don't feel the need to work myself up, I guess. I just feel like I'm living a little bit more in the moment. So it is what it is. If he has a good night, I think I've been given a miracle sleeper at this point. I'm not counting any blessings before whatever, but he's amazing at sleeping compared to what my daughter was and still is. But at the same time, I know that can change any minute, and I'm expecting it, and I know that, you know, it's just a situation where I just feel like I'm a little bit more in the moment. So if tonight he has a shit sleep, for the next week he has a shit sleep, I don't feel like I need to, know it in advance. I don't want to prepare myself too much because I think last time it really worked me up, got me a bit anxious. This might change, like I said, because the benefit of tracking, you know, the leaps was that I knew the types of activities to play with my daughter in order to enhance the stage that she.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The next thing that I have changed, and I don't know that it's been entirely conscious. I did a lot of work on this in my first time round, the sun, which was my absolute inability to ask for help. I struggled more than I think anyone I know. I really found it difficult to ask or accept for, you know, help. Now, I worked on that a lot. So part of the reason that it's changing this time around is that I have done a lot of work on that because I had to understand that, you know, me not asking for help was actually hindering me, but others as well in a number of ways. So I had to, you know, come to terms with the fact that I'm not burdening people. Actually, other people also have a relationship with my child, like my, you know, like her grandparents or, you know, aunties, uncles, that kind of, those kind of dynamics that I would be hindering if I wouldn't accept any support from them or any interaction, any help, any care for her from them. But, you know, the other reason is that I just can't do it without help this time around. Like my hands are so much more full, as you would know if you've got two. It feels like it's partly impossible to do what I could have managed to do first time round without another pair of hands. I've mentioned in my last episode, that, you know, my partner works a lot and I spend a lot of time, you know, without the support of a partner. So I'm very, very lucky that I'm very close to my parents. You know, physically they live around the corner, so I get a lot of their support, which is amazing. But now this time around, I feel like I'm so much more capable of picking up the phone and going, hey, I kind of need this. Do you think you can help me for half an hour, or can we work something out? And I don't feel so bad about it. I'm so insanely grateful, and I can't even explain how grateful I am. It's I wouldn't be able to do this without that help, without that support. But it's something that doesn't make me feel awful now to ask, because I couldn't function without it. And my something that my mum says to me all the time, which has kind of helped me, you know, see things a little bit differently, was asking me if I would do that for my child. So if she offers me help in some way, like, you know, do you want me to take your daughter to the shops, or do you want her to come over for a sleepover, or whatever it might be, I'll be like, look, I know you've got stuff on, I know you've got a life, whatever, you know, you need to do your thing. And my mom will always say to me, would you not do this for your child, what I'm doing for you? And I'm like, 100% I would do anything for my kid. Like, you know, when my children are adults, and if they choose to have kids, and or whatever situation they're in, if they need my help, I'll be up front and center. My mom's like, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. So that's kind of made me flip my thinking around, you know, in terms of, am I burdening people versus people being in my life because they want to be and they want to help me. The next thing that I'm trying to do differently this time around, or trying to do different at this point, I'm no expert at this, and I'm still kind of, I'm still working it out. But I guess it's about deciding how others feel about children and babies. So I've always had this, for some weird reason, I've always had this kind of assumption that, you know, or knowledge, I guess, that I know that I find my babies cute, and I know that I don't think they're annoying, and, you know, just like any parent thinks their kid is funny and cute, we all know that other people's kids don't always hit the same way, right? It's not always the same flavor when someone else's kid is saying something that their parents find adorable, and you're like, oh yeah, that's kind of cute. And so I've always had this concept that I'm conscious of that constantly. And so I've always kind of decided that other people would not enjoy my kids as much as I do, in the sense that, you know, they might find them annoying. If, you know, a perfect example of this is going out with friends. I have my toddler with me, and she wants to ask a lot of questions. And, you know, the normal scenario for any mum of a toddler is that if you're trying to have a conversation, it's interrupted 1,000 times. So you have 3 seconds of an adult conversation when ordinarily you'd have 20 minutes of an adult conversation, because the toddler's chiming in or wanting to ask you questions or ask, you know, needing help, all that kind of stuff. And before being a mum, I would have found that annoying. That's the truth. I struggle with that kind of stuff. Now that I'm a mum, I've decided that other people find that annoying. So I am overly apologetic, to the point that very recently a couple of friends have said to me, can you just stop apologizing? Like, you just chill. Like, we know you're here with a toddler. It's totally fine. So I think this is something I've got to work on, because I also feel a bit anxious and uncomfortable making people, you know, not have, I guess, the best time. So I'm working on not deciding how other people feel about children and babies. So I guess assuming that, you know, if you've invited me and you know I'm with my kid and you know I've got a toddler and a newborn, those interruptions may be part of the conversation, and that's something that I shouldn't already decide that you're going to be annoyed about. The next thing that's not happening this time around, and that's completely subconscious, it's just, I think this is where the being seasoned in having had a baby before is playing into it, is that I don't freak out about every single noise, sound, facial expression, gesture that my son makes. First time round, oh my gosh, it is a curse and a blessing that I live so close to a hospital, because everything freaked me out. Absolutely, absolutely everything made me nervous. Any funny sound that my daughter would make, I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, she's choking, there's something's wrong with her larynx, she's got sleep apnea, like anything. I would just Google galore, obviously, like we all do. but also absolutely panic. The number of times I'd pull over a car because she'd make a little squeaky sound. I'm like, that's not normal. Oh my gosh, she's never made that sound before. And of course, I got the typical faces from pediatricians and doctors. Anytime I'd go to see them, that it was like typical mum freaking out about everything, which I absolutely did. And, you know, a couple of them were really nice and they basically said to me, you know that babies will always, like some of these sounds they're going to make for the first time because they don't have a big array of sounds. So every sound is going to be new. And if they make one that they like and if they make one that you react to, there's a chance they're going to do it again. So it's just part of development. And so this time around, I guess I'm just super chilled in that sense. Like I'm really not panicked. My son is doing all the cute little 6-week-old or almost 6-week-old things that babies do. And, you know, he might move in a different way than my daughter did. And he's not mimicking her in any way. Like there's definitely things that he does differently. You know, he might do different, you know, movements with his body or facial expressions. He might also, he's actually, you know, I feel like she, tummy time wise, she lifted her head much earlier than he has. And part of it's got to do with, you know, their size and, you know, how heavy their head is and all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like first time around, I was so panicked about anything developmental, any sound, any noise, any gesture, any movement. And this time around, subconsciously, I'm just much more chilled, which hopefully means that that's going to play into his calm future nature as well. The next one I feel like is a bit of a sore spot for a lot of mums. I feel like it was a bit heartbreaking first time round. It seems like nothing, you know, when you say it out loud, but it's painful when you think about the fact that very often you yourself, who is there with your kids most of the time, most likely. I know the audience that I'm talking to tend to be, you know, mums that spend more time with their kids, is kind of waiting and hoping that others might voluntarily capture special moments. And this is something that I feel like no matter who you talk to, which mum you talk to, they'll be like, yeah, it's so funny. I end up in the least photos, like, or the least video footage, or and if I do, no one's really put in, I guess, much effort to think about how I look or whether I look nice or not. So you feel like you look disheveled, you feel like you're in the background, or you're not in your, you know, you're not in your prime position or whatever it might be. You don't necessarily look happy in the photo. If you're even in the photo, normally you're behind the camera. And I think first time round, including pregnancy. So my first pregnancy, I basically did my own photo shoot because I was like, I've never paid to get a photo shoot done. And I was like, I want to capture what I look like pregnant, and I'm just going to do it myself. So I took a bunch of photos of myself, awkward and embarrassing, but I have to say, I'll give myself a pat on the back. They actually turned out quite good, if I say so myself. Second pregnancy, I have only awful selfies, basically tracking progress of my bump, and the guilt hits hard when I know that I've taken a tenth of the photos second time round, pregnancy wise, than the first time. So with my daughter, it was like every single week I had a photo of the progress of my pregnancy with her. And with my son, I think maybe I have 4 or 5 photos of me pregnant, and they're all with a just tired face, picture in the bathroom, shit in the background, like there's nothing nice. And as far as I know, unless someone that knows me is able to, you know, miraculously pull out some photos, they're like, oh, I took these photos of you, you didn't know. I don't think there's one nice photo of me pregnant second time round. And so I think this time, something that I'm going to make a conscious effort of is not waiting for other people to initiate that capturing of special moments. Asking to be, you know, asking, can you take, this is a nice background, I want some photos with my kid, can you please take a photo of us? And directing how you want that photo to, just make it happen. Be, you know, in my case, I just want to do that. I want to appear, and I don't want to regret it later that I just waited back hoping that someone would have the thought to be like, hey, you know, mum, you should get in the photo. And in the same vein, The last thing I want to share that I'm not going to do this time around is allow myself to feel lonely due to lack of initiation on my part. There is nothing, as far as I've experienced, nothing lonelier than having a newborn. You are literally tied to a baby, your circles of friends, you know, who have or have not had children in the past, it doesn't matter. But if they're not in your current so-called season right now, if they're not in newborn territory right now, then in my opinion, this is the loneliest stage because you have a totally different world of demands. You are up at night, you are tired during the day, you are tied to being close to your child as much as you need to be. There's so much less that you can do. You don't have the same freedom as you normally do. And it's, you know, it's much harder to get other people, and in my case I've chosen not to up until now, to get other people to care for your baby. So my son's 6 weeks old. He hasn't been cared for, you know, for more than an hour or so by anyone else but me. But because of this, I feel like that sense of like, you know, I'm being left out haunts me and makes me feel completely isolated. In my first time round, I felt like, oh my gosh, oh, there's the little monkey. Hey, buddy. Hey, it's okay. First time round, you know, I did feel really lonely. And this time I think, you know, I'm not going to allow that to happen because I didn't initiate anything with people. And I think it's just initiating plans with friends. Obviously people assume that you are not ready to come out or assume that you're not available. And also there's different things people want to do. You know, in my current stage or season or whatever, it's easier for me. It's actually, it makes it possible for me if people come to me. Whereas people don't always want to sit in, you know, the lounge room of a house with a newborn and a toddler and have their Friday night drinks. It doesn't work like that. And I'm not silly, obviously. But there are other people in my life who are currently living in the same stage as I am. And so I'm going to take responsibility to initiate and not sit back and, you know, feel like, oh, well, I just have to wait to see, you know, for someone to not find me boring because that's the stage that I'm in. To be like, no. Okay, fine. We've got, you know, different ways that we can connect, but there are people in my life who are literally living exactly what I'm living. I'm going to take charge and initiate that. I've been thinking a lot lately about the village, you know, the village that people always talk about. It takes a village, that connection with other people. Obviously, people talk about it in terms of raising a child, but I think it's also in terms of when you are first, when you have a newborn, when you have a baby, and the stuff that needs to happen around you for that to function seamlessly takes a village. So food being prepared and house being cleaned and, you know, all the things that need to happen around you. And I was imagining, so I live in an apartment, and very often I think to myself when I'm struggling, I have no idea who lives in my building. I have no idea how many people in my building are in the same position as I am. And there could be 10 mums in the building, lonely as fuck, like me, with newborns, who knows? And here we are all waiting to be not lonely, waiting for others to take that kind of initiative. So I just feel like that's something that I want to take charge of this time around and not, like I said, not wait for it to come to me. I'm feeling, and I think part of the reason is that I'm feeling a lot calmer, a lot more confident second time around. So I'm not feeling as lost and confused, I guess. My identity hasn't taken as much of a hit as it did first time round. I'm still recovering from first time round. Don't get me wrong. I feel like becoming a mum took a whack at my identity altogether. And I am still a mum, and I've only been a mum for 3 years. So I'm still kind of working out who I am. So I guess having the second baby hasn't really knocked me out as much in that sense. So yeah, anyway, I feel like what I know I'm going to consciously do this time that I didn't do last time is to take that initiative and get out of my comfort zone. If I happen to connect with someone who's also in the same stage or season as I'm in at the moment, newborn territory, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and initiate. So this is my episode for today. I have, like I said, a wriggly, colicky baby in my arms. He's waking up. I think he's due for a feed, or he's wanting one anyway, so we'll just make it happen. I hope you have an amazing week. As usual, I'm here to remind you to trust your gut, be kind to your pooch, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.